Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to my channel. This is talking about the Zionist lobby in the United Kingdom. So I suppose begin with a few definitions. Zionism is the belief that Judaism is not just a faith, it's a nationality, and there ought to be an area of land which is a Jewish country. And that started going in the 1890s, Theodor Herzl with his book, Der Judenstaat. Then obviously the State of Israel was founded, or perhaps I should say refounded, in 1948 as a homeland for Jews, even though about 20% of the population are not Jewish. And that's it, because of Mount Zion there in Jerusalem. They had thought about going to Uganda or elsewhere, but they said, come on, let's go to where we started before the Jewish revolt, and we were booted out, and there was that Jewish diaspora since. So that's what Zionism is. Now, you don't need to be Jewish to be a Zionist. Most Zionists are not Jewish by religion or by ethnicity. Most of them are Christian evangelicals. There are obviously some Jews who are not Zionist and even who are anti-Zionist. I mean, to begin with, a lot of Jews, especially the wealthier ones, were against, because they said, we're often accused of divided loyalties. We want to show that we're absolutely committed to the countries of which we're citizens. If I'm a French Jew, yes, I'm a Frenchman first and foremost. If I'm a German Jew, I'm, you know, loyal to Germany. That's it. And obviously, it's only after Nazism got here in 1933 that the Zionists really gained traction, because we have to go somewhere because you're being wiped out in much of Europe. And after 1945, this could happen again. They're not safe in Germany. They're not safe anywhere else. The only way to be secure is to have their own country and be armed to the teeth. I remember a Jewish Mancunian friend saying, and that was a good thing because there could be laws reflective of Judaism, as in a Shabbat would be the main day off and go to a shop and you could be sure the food was kosher or whatever. Whereas, you know, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Christians all have at least one country, in some cases many, where the laws reflect their faith. But let's look to this Zionist lobby in the United Kingdom. So I don't dispute the right of Zionists in the UK to say their piece. They think that the existence of Israel is a good thing. All right, they think the United Kingdom should be aligned with Israel, and they've had their way. It's true that in 1948, the United Kingdom did not vote for the UN resolution establishing Israel, abstained because not wanting to upset its Arab allies like Jordan and Iraq too much. But since then, the UK has become, the UK government has become crazily Zionist, giving the Israelis privileges they wouldn't give to anyone else, rarely criticizing Israel. Selling arms to Israel, not very much. Israel has actually a very impressive military manufacturing sector itself. The Israelis buy that partly to keep the UK happy. Israeli military officers coming for courses here, even in very recent years, whilst the genocide is ongoing. What else? Some intelligence sharing, partly because Hamasad, the Israeli external intelligence agency, is superb. Everybody knows that one. As Issa the Little said, you know, it'll live by intelligence, or that motto from the Bible, by subterfuge ye shall do battle. And obviously there's a Jewish community in the United Kingdom, only about 0.5% of the population. Unsurprisingly, many of them feel fellow feeling for the only Jewish majority country in the world. Some of them are dual citizens, British Israelis, and many of them would have cousins in Israel. So there's that personal bond, there's some sense of affection. That was the ancestral homeland. But increasingly, you know, younger British Jews, but the more left-wing ones, have been very critical of Israel. I mean, you know, someone who's Jewish and said, well, it really has got nothing to do with him. That's it. He's completely committed to the UK and abominates the way that the Israeli government behaves. There's a Zionist lobby in the Conservative Party, and that is the most significant one. Bear in mind, obviously, since 1945, the Conservative Party has been in office most of the time. And at one point, 80% of Conservative MPs, member of Conservative Friends of Israel. And you're just not going to get anywhere if you're not a member of it. Almost nobody ever gets into the cabinet without being Conservative in the Conservative Friends of Israel, and so on. And so if you're known to criticize Israel, that's it. And Sir Alan Duncan, a very distinguished Conservative MP, former government minister, he was criticized. All sorts of scurrilous, bogus, destructive accusations were made against him when he spoke up for Palestine, threatened to be kicked out of the party. The Conservative Party didn't follow its proper procedure. Anyway, he wasn't kicked out in the end. So first of all, I've got to say, I'm not saying that there is a Zionist conspiracy, a Jewish conspiracy. There is not, there never has been, okay, to control the world, that is a hoax. That really is an anti-Semitic trope, something out of the Prodigals of Elders of Zion. What is true is Zionist organizations around the world, they do try and do their best for Israel. No surprise there then, okay? Suppose you can scarcely blame them. The countries keep trading with Israel, keep sharing intelligence, keep sharing weapons, not voting against it, maintain diplomatic relations to mute criticism as much as possible. And they do this through cajolement, through threats, if necessary, trying to get people sacked, trying to get programs censored, and so on. And then often going on beyond what's ethical, even beyond what's legal, as the electronic intifada has shown this. So the Zionist lobby has largely got the Conservative Party. And there have been a few brave Conservative voices saying, actually, we should recognize Palestine. And since the United Kingdom rightfully recognized Palestine, Kemi Badenoch even said that's the wrong thing to do. And a future Conservative government would de-recognize the state of Palestine, despite being recognized by even more countries than recognize Israel. And so we go on. So the Jewish community is a very affluent community and often were major donors to the Conservative and Unionist Party. Don't object to that then. Obviously, the Tory party's had two Jewish leaders, Boris Johnson, he's only about an eighth Jewish, and Michael Howard. And obviously, anti-Semitism is despicable. If you go back to the Middle Ages, England had a terrible record, some woeful atrocities against Jews, and in the 1290, the Edict of Expulsion, all allowed back under Cromwell in 1656. So there's a lot of philo-Semitism in the United Kingdom. I'm a philo-Semite, and I recognize the unparalleled contribution Jews have made to civilization in so many spheres, like in medicine and music and philosophy and theater and journalism and literature, in really anything you care to mention. And philo-Semitism is not the same as Zionism. All right, and the Conservative Party, when there was a leadership contest a couple of years ago, the four leadership contenders were vying to outdo each other in their obeisance to Israel, being cheerleaders for Israeli atrocities against Palestinian civilians. And any crime against humanity was said to be virtuous if the perpetrators were Israeli. And all these massacres were justified on the basis this was Israel defending itself. There's no such right for Palestine, okay? So what was done was often grossly disproportionate. And then pressurizing the BBC. I remember Ian Duncan Smith years ago, when he's leader of the Conservative Party, said the BBC must call Hamas what they are, terrorists. The BBC, rather than use a militant term, militant, some sort of value neutral term, or armed group, something like that, paramilitary, something like that. And Jenrick was the runner up for the Tory leadership, and he was just insanely Zionist and just viciously anti-Palestinian. He's gone off and joined Reform UK, which has largely gone the same way. And Reform UK's previous iteration, the UK Independence Party, was riven between Zionism and neutrality. So we know Kemi Badenoch, she's a vociferous Zionist. James Cleverly, he's a big beast in the Conservative Party, not in the cabinet at the moment, a shadow cabinet, but he's fervently Zionist as well. Tom Tugendhat is also Zionist. He's the most moderate on the issue. And he's a quarter Jewish, showing that those who are actually Gentile, in some ways, were more vociferously Zionist than those who are not, and so on. So any plea for mercy for the Palestinians, any expose of Israel's manifold offences against morality, international law, and even its own laws, is dismissed as anti-Semitism, and this is preposterous. So that Conservative Friends of Israel, it will bring these Tory MPs to Israel. Obviously, business class, five-star hotels, all expenses paid, show them what they want them to see. And Suella Braverman, being shown real-time footage of whatever aid deliveries to Palestine. Now, she's not thick. She, obviously, Israelis were showing her what they wanted to see. That might have been the only time they ever did it. And then she completely went in for that. Her husband's Jewish, as she likes to point out to the world. She's now in Reform United Kingdom. And, you know, the mass murder of Palestinians is A-OK with her. There's no sense of proportionality with her, always blaming the victims here. And so it's gone, no word about the illegal occupation of Palestine. And I know some people don't recognize Palestine, but everybody recognizes Syria and everybody recognizes Lebanon, and never criticizing Israel for being breach of United Nations Security Council resolutions. That's international law, saying that it must open up its nuclear facilities to inspection. Israel, which won't tell the truth about its nuclear weapon status, and it will not sign the non-proliferation treaty. And yet somehow, using allegations of an Iranian nuclear weapons program to lambast Iran, to impose sanctions in Iran, but they never imposed it on Israel for its nuclear weapons. and so on. Anyway, so we go on. So now I know most Conservative MPs are multimillionaires, could easily afford a trip to Israel themselves, but obviously many of them are tight-fisted, and because of their avarice and miserliness, they accept that free trip. So even the slightest criticism of Israel's policies will get you firmly slapped down. I remember way back in about 2012, when there were more Israeli massacres of Palestinian civilians, and William Hague, the then foreign secretary, said some elements of the Israeli response have been disproportionate. Weasel words, so pussyfooted, so pathetic. We're talking about mass murder here, and all it would say was disproportionate. You've always got to ask yourself, how do you feel it was the boot in the other foot? If Palestinians had killed that many Israeli civilians, he would not have been mincing words like that. Even then, behind the scenes, you know, Zionist donors were saying that's unacceptable. Even the slightest disagreement with Israeli policy is something that they find very, very displeasing. So strong-arming media organizations, BBC, Channel 4, to pull first in documentaries, often get in their way, getting journalists sacked, like from the London Broadcasting Corporation, for asking tough questions to Zionist spokesmen and spokeswomen. The Conservative Arab Network, I don't think even exists anymore, used to be. So in Labour, there's Labour Friends of Israel, and it doesn't have that many members, but they often get promoted. I mean, David Lammy, the former foreign secretary, was one. Most of Andy Burnham's cabinet are members of Labour Friends of Israel, as indeed is Burnham himself. It is extraordinary. And any criticism of Israeli government policy, no matter how well evidenced, no matter how carefully phrased, they will say that's a trope of anti-Semitism. That's a blood libel. It's not a libel if it's true. Okay, and I know some criticisms of Israel are over the top, are unfair, and are false, but they're not all bogus. So the stock response will be anti-Semitism. You know, unless you approve of the mass murder of Palestinian civilians, you're an anti-Semite. No, I'm not. I remember Douglas Murray, and he's Gentile, he tried this one. Why weren't you marching about Sudan? Well, partly because there's less reportage. Another reason is Sudan does not bang on about being democracy. Another thing is the Sudanese do not say they've got the most moral army in the world. The United Kingdom was not arming or funding the Sudanese regime and so forth. And there's not this huge Sudanese lobby in the UK. Now, you know, there's no Conservative Friends of America or whatever, or Conservative Friends of France. It's only of Israel. There was an equivalent sort of Conservative Friends of Russia that was shut down over the Ukraine war. But over this Gaza war, the CFI was not closed down. And they produced their own propaganda sheet called Informed. And so it goes on. But back to Labour Friends of Israel. So there's also Labour Friends of Palestine in the Middle East. And Jeremy Corbyn, when he was elected leader of the Labour Party, that was a catastrophe for the Zionists. Because they know the Tories can't win all the time. One day there would be a Labour government. And they wanted to make sure whichever one the party was in office in the United Kingdom, the UK would be favorably disposed towards Tel Aviv. So they had to bring him down. And therefore, it had to be a Zionist hit job. I mean, not killing him. And all these scurrilous allegations of anti-Semitism. I'm not saying every word of it was bogus, but, you know, hugely overblown. Supposed all the hate mail they received and blah, blah, blah. I don't know anything Corbyn's ever said or done which is anti-Semitic. And a major conservative Jewish politician, Sir John Bercow, formerly Speaker of the House of Commons, says he doesn't believe that Corbyn is an anti-Semite at all. I mean, Bercow has since joined the Labour Party. And so we've gone. So that's that smear campaign to depict him as an anti-Semite. And it worked. They contributed to Labour's major defeat in 2024. And if a lie is told often enough, a lot of people will believe it. If Corbyn had been Prime Minister, he would have recognised Palestine immediately. He would have halted all arms sales to Israel. He'd even hosted some Hamas leaders in London in 2010 and call them friends. So anyway, Labour politicians who speak up for too much on Palestinian rights are dropped from the Labour Party. And there was a Labour politician saying she wanted to see Palestine and Israel live in peace and liberty from the river to the sea, and she was suspended. There was a Labour candidate, actually, in Ian Duncan-Smith's seat, and she said something displeasing to the Zionists, and she was dumped as a candidate. She stood as an independent. And that contributed to Labour not gaining the seat, which they're almost certain to do otherwise. And so we go on. So since Labour was ushered into office in July 2024, his only concession to the Palestinian caucus was to suspend the export licenses for a few weapon systems that were due to be shipped to Israel. But most British arms import exports continue. And of course, there's the UK Lawyers for Israel arguing that it was illegal. Well, the UK doesn't have to sell weapons to anybody. The government has the legal right to suspend or indeed end export licenses. So the Liberal Democrats, they're the third biggest party in the UK. They've also got their Zionist faction. They don't advocate for Palestinian rights very much. So the Scottish National Party is different. They were often fulsome for Palestinian freedom. Okay, so anyway, so the UK is fairly important for Israel. There's not that much trade, but the United Kingdom's one that got, you know, Security Council permanent place in the United Nations, and that matters. So Tel Aviv wants to keep the UK sweet. The Chagos Island dispute, Israel was only one of only five other countries in the United Nations, five out of 193, to vote for Britain's position in the United Nations General Assembly. So the State of Israel is a reliable ally in the UN. Israel knows that the UK is one of the few nations beside the United States that usually votes Israel's way. Therefore, the Israelis reckon it's smart to return the favor occasionally. The UK is not quite as slavishly Zionist as the USA. For example, the United Kingdom voted for the UN Security Council resolution March 2024 for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. That's international law. The USA abstained. And of course, the war continued. So that was illegal. That was Israel breaking international law again. And, you know, Israel was created by international law via a UN Security Council resolution. And I've seen the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, and it's staggering. Claiming that the West Bank is not illegally occupied, his argument, the Bible, an Iron Age myth. This has no legal standing. Why should anyone accept that who's not Jewish or Christian? I mean, not many Jews or Christians wouldn't even accept that. That God gave it to them, so these people are mere racial chaff. The Bible, which says, children of Israel, you see Canaan. Now these Canaanites, they've never done you any harm. Nevertheless, attack them now. Start an unprovoked war of aggression, and you can kill all the men, and you may rape all the women, and you may steal all the farmland and the farm animals. Okay, so now I know all groups of people did this. All groups of people invaded each other throughout history. The Jews are not averagely bad in ancient times. So I don't blame Jewish people now for what happened 3,000 years ago. That would be absurd and grossly unjust. But this does not give Israel any right to that. By that argument, they would have a right to Iraq, where they used to live much longer ago. This really is preposterous and sick. It's like saying that the UK has the right to take back India. That would not be quite as illogical as what he's alleging. So he's that bereft of any logical or legal argument. All right. So, yeah, Shrivenham, where Israeli army officers sometimes visit the UK Army's Technology College. There's that Royal Defence College right there on Belgrave Square in London, where Israeli officers were studying even during the middle of the Gaza genocide. That's it. The Daily Telegraph newspaper fulminates in favor of all the felonies committed by Israel against the Palestinians. And the other newspapers don't criticize it that much. The Guardian is pretty good in telling the unvarnished truth and speaking up for Palestinian freedom and so on. So the Israeli embassy is constantly complaining there's anti-Israeli bias in the British media, but it's been documented that's not the case. I mean, we know that the BBC, it reports each Israeli death 30 times more prominently than each Palestinian death. I remember the late Robert Fisk saying it's like an exchange rate. It's like one Israeli death is worth like 100 Palestinian deaths or something like that. Wow. So it is really sickening. And the emotive language attached to the deaths of Israelis, such as massacre, a term which the BBC almost never uses in relation to Palestinian victims and so on. Okay, so there are obviously Zionists who control newspapers and so on. And I'm not saying Jews. Zionists and Jews are not the same. Some of the Zionists are not Jews, and many of the Jews are not Zionists. So this is a completely different thing. And indeed, the definition of anti-Semitism is to pretend that all Jews are responsible for the actions of Israel, and they're not. But the Zionist lobby will always say they are, say that therefore, if you criticize something done by the Israeli army or whatever, no matter how egregiously wrong, then you must be anti-Semitic, you must be against all Jewish people, which is preposterous, which is not true. And these Palestinian solidarity marches, obviously they're Jewish people on them, and some of them are ultra-Orthodox rabbis even, very identifiably Jewish, and often Jewish people invited to speak. So, I mean, part of the Zionist campaign was to destroy the Jewish voice for Labour, which was the anti-Zionist Jewish faction within the Labour Party, and indeed they succeeded. Goodness, yeah, what is to be done, okay? Have sympathy for Jews of the Holocaust is still just about within living memory, right? Accept the existence of Israel and all the rest of it. They wanted a safe haven. They were worried that, you know, Israel at one point was only 12 miles across and they had no margin for error if they were defeated. So there are many valiant and morally upstanding Jewish people who recognize the state of Israel commits abominable crimes against Palestinians every single day. And no praise is too high for such Jewish people who embody the noblest principles of Jewish humanitarianism. So the sort of pro-Arab solidarity of other Arab countries has largely disappeared. You know, Saudi Arabia has largely abandoned the cause of Palestinian freedom. So it's a forlorn hope. Anyway, so this extraordinary scope and wealth of the Zionist lobby in the United Kingdom majorly skews British government policy. It's a major distortion of the democratic process. And of course, because people are not getting the information they should get through the media, that's why the public is poorly informed. And if it was properly informed, it would be even more sympathetic to Palestine than it already is. We know a high majority of the public feel extremely sorry for the Palestinians who suffer the most terrible injustices over many decades. And I know we can say the good things about Israel, and yes, it's democratic, and yes, it's got gay rights, and yes, it's got female equality, but there are other democracies in the Middle East. I mean, certainly the West Bank is democratic as far as the Palestinians have any control at all. Lebanon's got democracy, and Tunisia's got democracy, Iraq has democracy, Jordan has free and fair elections, and all right, the king has got too much political power. The same is true of Morocco. So it's just not the truth. It's the only democracy in the Middle East. But, you know, democracy doesn't make genocide better. What consolation is it to Palestinian parents if all their children are murdered to say, well, a democracy did it? Anyway, so do what you can to work for peace and understanding between Palestinians and Israelis, for racial equality, for religious equality, for justice, for freedom for Palestine. You know, you want Israel secure in her own borders. Why not Palestine secure in her own borders? All right. Thank you and goodbye.